afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Thursday, December 26, 2019. Howdy, Butch.
How are you, Melody?
I'm doing fine.
Just think, we're right on the verge of another year. Aren't you excited?
How about that?
Unbelievable.
How about that? Yes, 2020. You know, Wall Street Journal had an article out today about time, and because this is we're heading into a new decade, and it's a mental thing. And
my body says it's physical too.
Yeah, I hear you, but they say that. Because we're heading into a new decade, and also it makes an impact on people, because when we write out the date, we have to change two numbers, not just one. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of hoopla and emotions and stuff like that going into this new decade, and with, you know, so I don't know.
Well, does it seem like it's been 20 years since 2000?
Oh my gosh, no. You know what?
If I had 9/11, it seemed like it'd been that long ago.
I'd have to put it into, it seems like 10 years ago, maybe.
I know. It's unbelievable. I mean, 2000 was such a big deal. I mean, you know, big deal. And then 9/11 happened. My goodness, Melody, these years are flying by.
They are. And what's interesting, if people remember, I don't know if they do, but I do. Coming out of the year 2000, we had the dot-com bubble bust.
Yes.
We were heading into a major recession. Most of your airlines were, you know, ready to all file bankruptcy and so forth. And then 9/11 happened, and America became patriotic. I can remember, I think everybody got a check to spend. Every news, every radio show, and everybody was all Rush Limbaugh, and everybody was on there saying, bye. You know, and you know, we had all the major bailouts and everything. So, you know, it's you know, and then the major crash came. So, it's I don't know, kind of interesting.
It is. It really is. But you look back over 20 years, and I know that seemed like a long time, and it is a long time, but it seemed like it flew by. Look how much a country has changed since 2000. Think about all the change in this country, in a lot of different areas, financially, morally, everything else. It's hard to believe, isn't it?
Well, I think a lot of the changes most people don't recognize as changes, you know, and I think of that as more of our, you know, our NDAA, the NDAA, the Patriot Act. To me, those were the biggest and most dangerous changes in this country, because those were changes that went unnoticed. These are changes that people didn't have any idea how it affected them.
That's true.
And they thought that it didn't affect them, but it does, and it did. It did, and it does.
And 2020
is
another election year.
What?
2020 is another election year.
Yes, it is.
Trump was just elected, seemed like 6 months ago. Oh, that other way seemed like 6 years ago. But anyway, but 2020 is another election year, and I don't look forward to this year at all, Melody, as far as that part goes.
Well, it's not going to be any different than what it's been.
Well, I think it's
going to
be worse.
I mean, basically, we've been in an election year for 4 years.
That's true.
So 2020 is not going to be any different.
I think this year is going to see a lot of heated rhetoric, though, even worse than it has been. I think it's going to heat up. And who knows what's going to happen after
election. I don't know how worse it could be.
Well, don't hold your breath, because I think it's going to be. I don't know that. I just know that the last 3 years with Trump has been, like you said, we'll say different, to be polite.
Well, I mean, I truly do believe we've been in an election year for the past 4 years, because that's what it's all about.
Yeah,
and so
true.
I can't see how 20, you know, we might be a little shocked or something. And I think the big deal for 2020 for the election is going to be the debate between President Trump and the Democratic nominee. That's going to be the peak. But everything else has been status quo for the past 4 years. We've heard from them all before. We all knew who was running. They're all saying the same rhetoric that they have before. You know, they're all liberal Democrats, and you know it's we know what they're going to say. We have they have the socialist views, but we're already a socialist nation. Hello,
that's right.
Where is
that's
everybody?
Right. That's right. So, just put an article.
You know, for people to be appalled at how some of these Democratic presidential candidates are out there, you know, saying, you know, free health care, free this, free that, and free this, is shocking. It shouldn't be.
No. It shouldn't be. I just put an article in this month's magazine, Minuteman Magazine, that goes out free online. Social Security is socialist. Social Security is socialist. It always has been. It always will be. It's always going to be that way. It's socialism. And that's what we've got accustomed to it. That's what scares me. With the candidates running today, they're declaring things that even 10 years ago they've been laughed off the stage. Now people are accepting it as being something normal.
Well, that's what our country is.
Sure, it is. It really is.
So it's but the thing of it is, it's the Republicans who really aren't saying anything. It's the conservative.
If there is such same war as conservative.
No.
Conservatives today would have been liberals 20 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, what can I say?
But anyway, we had a good day in gold. All the boys are off for holiday, so they didn't mess with gold and silver. And so we saw some big moves in the market. We have gold up 11.30 today in the New York spot price aftermarket at 1511.
All right.
Silver was up right now in the New York spot price aftermarket, up 14 cents at 1799. However, we had a high of $18.14. That was at the beginning of the get-go of the day. Platinum was up $5 at $952. Palladium was up $21 at $1909. The USDX today was down 0.06 at 97.56. Crude oil was up another 52 cents at 61.56. And the paper markets are all getting record highs once again today. So let's pull up the stock market, the Dow. Let's see, the Dow was up 106 points at 28,621. The NASDAQ was up 69 points at 9,022. The S&P was up 16 at 3,239. And the NASDAQ hits 9,000 for the first time. Let's see, 10-year yield is 1.90%, down 0.03. The euro is still 111. It hasn't moved in 3 months. And you talk about a steady currency. I think it's kind of funny, anyway.
I wonder if next month will change that. I wonder if next month will change that when they leave. Brexit takes place January 31st. You think that'll change anything?
Well, you know, I don't know. You would think it would become weaker. But on the other hand, you don't have... England isn't using the euro. So I would think any weakness is already built in. So,
well, that could be a good point.
So depending on which way, you know, Brexit goes, if the UK makes all trade agreements, you know, with the US, you might see some weakness there. But I think it's been at this 111 for so long. I can't imagine. I think whatever impact is already built in, but. Because I don't think anyone's anticipating anything that we already haven't anticipated. So, Japan. Were you going to say something?
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Nope. Ain't got a thing to say.
What emotion is driving the market? We're into the extreme greed at 93. So that popped. That was going down, and then all of a sudden that popped, and. You know, it's a quiet sort of a day, with the holiday, at least part of the holiday being over, Christmas being over. And I saw one account of, there was one day last week, I think the spending for a day was $34 billion. And my only question was, if they can figure out what was spent in a day, then why does it take 3 revisions on the GDP?
I don't know. Interesting stuff.
It's all computerized, so you know. But anyway, and I think you have record online sales, which is giving the U.S. holiday shopping season a little bit of a boost. You have minimum wage hikes are hitting 21 states in 2019, and there's a lot more that's going to be on the way in 2020. And this is all inflationary, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk a little bit about gold making its headway about $1,500. Let's see if there's any other interesting headlines that I think is worth repeating. Corporate defaults in China surge in 2019. And that's pretty much that maybe moved the markets today, other than, you know, no one's in Wall Street, so it's real easy to manipulate these markets. And they want it to be as high as possible heading into the new year. It's election year.
Well, you know, I have got a bit of good news here, I guess, for those who like to eat during the holidays. I just found out that caffeine can help offset the weight gain. 4 cups of coffee a day could help you cut back on weight. Isn't that remarkable? Isn't that wonderful? Then start drinking more coffee. You may be wired, but you lose weight. Just let's share that. Just an idea.
Or die.
Or why now?
Or die.
Do what?
Die.
Well, I figure a New Year's resolution won't be too hard to drink 4 cups of coffee a day. New Year's resolution, starting the first, I'll drink 4 cups of coffee a day. I already drink one. Why not add 3 more? Maybe I'll get skinny.
I don't know. That
was... I'd share that.
That West Virginia accent with more caffeine, I'm not so sure about that.
Well, I can see how you lose weight. You'd be jumping everywhere. But anyway, but I just decided to share that. That's a study come out, and I thought it might encourage somebody, you know, hey, don't give up. Try this. Now, I'm ready to go on.
I'm waiting.
You still there?
Yeah, I'm waiting.
Okay. Well, this may help some folks lose weight, too. Wave of Chinese restaurants are closed across America. Now, Chinese is one of the most popular takeout foods. According to New York Times, citing data from Yelp, the share of Chinese restaurants has dramatically fallen across major U.S. metropolitan areas in the last 5 years. Yelp data shows the share of Chinese restaurants in the top 20 metros have been in free fall since 2014. That's hard to believe. The declining trend has resulted in over 1,200 fewer Chinese restaurants, while these metros added over 15,000 restaurants. So they added 15,000 restaurants and lost 1,200 more Chinese restaurants. I just thought it's interesting. I mean, most folks do like something from a Chinese restaurant, and it's always a popular takeout. So just thought I'd mention that. Any comments on that, Miss Melody?
Well, you do know that I remember... You could go to any little town in the United States, and every little town probably has 3 or 4 Chinese restaurants. I mean, they're just everywhere. And I remember noticing it when we lived in central Missouri. You had Chinese restaurants just everywhere, but you never saw the Chinese people who ran them. The only time you'd see them is if you went into the restaurant. You'd never see them in the stores. You never saw them at the grocery store. You just didn't see them out and about.
That's a good point. Good point. Good point. Same with the Mexican
So my idea was China. That was China's way of infiltrating our country.
Okay. Yeah, we lost our Chinese restaurant in Somerville.
You want a conspiracy theory? There you go.
But yeah, we lost a Chinese restaurant in Somerville, and I really liked it. So we have a Mexican restaurant. You know, now that you mention, I don't see them out very much either. I don't know. Maybe this is all conspiracy, folks, to take over the country. I don't know.
Well, when I lived in State College, before I moved, It was maybe about a year before I moved down here to Maryland. And there was a raid on Chinese restaurants. And they closed several of them. They raided all of them in the State College area. And
for
so
health
I never
violations?
Knew what it was about. I never knew what it was about. Didn't know if it was immigration, perhaps. But so, who knows?
Wow. How about that? I've always, you always hear rumors about them, but I didn't. Okay. Now, and this next article I thought you might find interesting. We were just in the wrong place at the wrong time, Mildy. Colorado man robs bank, throws cash in the air yelling Merry Christmas. You probably saw this, but the holiday season has a way of bringing out both the best and the worst in people. As holiday consumption increases, unfortunately, theft does as well from the host of places like porches, donation bins, stores, and even banks. But it isn't often that the stolen goods are immediately redistributed in such an extremely noticeable fashion. Just after noon on Monday, a 65-year-old man, now mind you, walked into the downtown Colorado Springs, Colorado bank, and stole thousands of dollars before running outside and tossing the cash up into the air while yelling Merry Christmas. He robbed the bank, came out, threw the money all over the place. Diane Pascal, a witness of the strange ordeal, told KKTV. He started throwing money out of the bag, and then he said, Merry Christmas. And according to Pascal, when the robber was done tossing the cash in the air, he walked from the outside of the Academy Bank into a patio of a nearby Starbucks, sat down, and waited for police to arrive and arrest him. He reported he did not order a drink. The man, David Wayne Oliver, was arrested without incident. Police didn't find a weapon on the man, despite him having claimed that he was armed during the robbery. According to the witnesses, bystanders retrieved some of the money, returned it to the bank, but the Denver Post quoted police as saying thousands of dollars remained unaccounted for. So, what do you think about that? I mean, rob the bank, throw the money away, and some of the people were honest, they brought it back. But I will say those who took the money are just as bad as the thief was. Only they didn't put up the risk. They just stole the money when they got it and left. That's all. So taking it either way, still stealing. But the man went in and threw the money out. So what do you think about that?
Modern day Robin Hood.
I guess. But I mean, my goodness, 65 years old. 65-year-old man. I mean, what would get in his head to do that? I'd like to hear the rest of that story.
It's what happens when you retire too early. You get bored.
You know, I can't say that's happened to me. It really hasn't. Boredom is not something I have much time to think about, but it's break time already.
Yes, it is, and we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to a live program. Today is December 26, 2019. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. We'll be right back.
So, Melody, before you take off, remind me what...
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. Well, our office today is officially closed, but good old Melody came to the office in and out most of the day. And if you want to make an order, please leave a message, and we will try to call you back and accommodate your order. But officially, I think this is the first time we've closed this long. 20 plus years. We closed partially on Wednesday. We were officially closed the 24th, 25th, and 26th. So we will be open tomorrow. So.
Okay.
Kind of interesting. 1-800-375-4188. Visit the website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. 2020 Silver Eagles, ladies and gentlemen, they are available to lock in. Deliveries will begin about the third week of January, and the reason why is because the Treasury is not allowed to release the new year coins prior to that year. So there's a specific, I think it's January 8th. I don't know if it's January 3rd, January 8th, one of those 2 days that they have to wait. And then they go to wholesalers, then they go to retailers, and then they go to you. So, but you can buy 2019s. They're available. So give us a call, 800-375-4188.
And what are they going for now?
Well, with silver at 18, you're probably looking about 260, 280, 290, 2090, I mean.
You know, that's wonderful. And, I mean, gold dipped down to, what was it, 14, 20s, 30s, a couple weeks ago. Now it's back at 1,500. And I do believe it probably will back down again slightly, but it's going to keep going up. You know that, too.
Yes.
I mean, it hits and peaks and it drops a little bit, but it's going to continue going up. If you don't order now, it's not going to be any cheaper next year. You can take that to the bank. It's not going to be cheaper next year. Understand that. So anyway, I put that in because every time people put it off, they end up losing.
Well, what I tell my customers is everybody tries to time the market, and you can't. If you're ready to buy, you buy. Because the price is relative. And I tell it doesn't matter what you pay for it. What's a good price to pay for gold? Well, until the system collapses, it's always a good price. Because what else are you going to do with your money, that fiat dollar?
True.
So even if gold is $3,000, if the system hasn't collapsed yet, $3,000 is a bargain. Because either you're going to pay $3,000 for gold, or your fiat dollar is going to go, it probably won't go to zero, but you might lose 70% of that value. So it's your choice what you want to do. So price is all relative on how you look at things. If the market collapsed, if it collapsed by 70-80%, and gold went from here to, I don't know, 900, you're still better off owning gold at 900 than having that paper collapsing 70-80-90%.
Very true.
So it's all how you look at
it.
But nobody wants to buy gold with that theory in mind, with that fundamental. Everybody wants to buy gold and silver with the promises it's going to rise. And it's going to rise. That's the beauty of gold. You're protecting both ends. You know, your safety valve is protecting you no matter which way it goes. because that's how much better it is than your paper investment. Your paper investment can, and a lot will, go to zero. Not all. But your gold, it doesn't matter what it does do. When it's compared to paper, you're going to fare. You're going to be the richest person in the world.
That's very true. Very true.
So that's how you have to look at buying gold. And yes, price, I do believe we're going to see 3,000 gold, 5,000 gold. I wait till those limits before I tell you where we're going to go, you know, which direction it's going to go. Same way with silver. We're going to see $50 silver again. And I know the predictions out there are 100, 200, 300 silver, maybe. But let's get to 50 again first and see what's pushing it there. And, you know, and then we can go higher. And you're right, if the system collapses overnight, which I believe it will, we're going to wake up to a whole different world, then all caps are off. All caps are off to gold and silver. We won't be waiting to see where it goes, because it's going to go. So
very true. Very true. And it's still being bought up by nations and by the tons. There is,
yes,
a limited amount. There really is. And once one day people realize that gold and silver is going to be the best investment, they may end up paying three or four times what it's worth right now because they're waiting too long.
And the thing, this sounds silly, but they want to control it. Because you know what? The only independence that you truly have is financially. So you don't have to be tied to their system. I mean, many of us have to be because we work, you know, we have businesses and so forth. We have to do their daily, you know, you have to do what you have to do business. But to be independent and to be able to make choices in the future, having that gold is going to help you. I mean, it frees your hands to make those decisions. So,
well, I think it's one of the wisest things you can do, people, to prepare yourself for what's coming. I really do. And you hear me say it all the time in this program. You heard it say it on my broadcast. If you don't prepare yourself, you one day wake up and you wonder, what in the world am I going to do now? And it's going to happen. I just shared this past week when you were going, this past Tuesday, that Social Security and Medicare are really starting to be talked about. About half of the budget, federal budget, is Social Security, Medicare. And so Medicare, Medicare. So you just stop and think, if it's half the budget, what are they going to do to cut it? What are they going to cut? You know, I mean, they're going to start cutting that. And it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt me. It's going to hurt a lot of people. We live with it. We need it. We paid into it. But it's still not going to keep from going away, is it?
No, it isn't. I mean, that's one of the things they're going to have to address.
So it is what it is. But anyway, I thought this article here was kind of interesting. You know, I started watching last night a new documentary on Vietnam. And being part of that situation then, and looking back on now, knowing some of the things I knew, I like to watch factual news, and this one was very good. What I've seen so far, very good so far. But this article kind of shocked me. Americans are retiring to Vietnam for cheap health care and a decent standard of living. Now this is for real. When John Rockhold drew a low number 12 in 1971 draft lottery, his adolescence in the San Fernando Valley forever changed. Seeking to avoid the Army, he signed up for the Navy just after graduating from Granada Hills High School. As an enlisted petty officer, he spent months operating boats that dropped off SEALs at night along long and humid Vietnamese shorelines, where American troops were trying to stop the Communist North from taking over the South. More than 58,000 U.S. service members died in the war, and since it ended in 1975, innumerable American veterans have returned to Vietnam seeking understanding, forgiveness, or reconciliation. Now some are coming for more mundane reasons: inexpensive housing, cheap health care, and a rising standard of living. Wow. You never thought that. Not when we were there before in the 60s. I wouldn't have thought that, Melody. That's amazing. That's something.
You know, James Corbett, it was probably about a year ago, now. He visited friends in Vietnam, and he says he was just amazed at the growth in Vietnam. And he didn't think it would be as far along, just like, you know, your reaction. You didn't think it would be as far along, and yet it's an economy that is very vibrant.
And so it's communist, totally communist. We thought we were going to save them and give them a better country ourselves, and we're going to do this, we're going to westernize the nation. Obviously, they didn't need us. So,
I don't know. It just goes to show how expensive. But even thinking that's $2,000 in Vietnam, to me, that still seems expensive. Now, he says the health care and everything else is much cheaper, but they still bought an apartment condo for $250,000.
Wow.
So housing didn't seem that, because I read that same article you did.
I would say that's an exception to the rule, though. I can't imagine normal housing being anywhere near that much over there.
Decent housing, maybe.
But I can't imagine $250,000. I really can't. Now, of course, I've been there for a long, long time. But I remember being there. And I'm sure their houses cost that much, but I just can't imagine that being a common amount. Besides that, Melody, if I could afford $250,000 house, why would I go anywhere else anyway?
I know. That's what I thought was odd.
It doesn't make any sense.
And this was, they bought a 4-bedroom, 3.5-bath, measuring about 1,800 square feet with a separate veranda for $250,000, and that was in 2011. So that would go for much more now. So I thought, well, that's awfully expensive for Vietnam.
I thought, oh, yes,
anyway.
I'm sure they're exceptionally wealthy if they were here even. $250,000 for a home is way, 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 way outside my reach. I'm sure most people out there. So that doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense, because when they talk about their $2,000 a month living, that even includes a cook and a cleaner. So I don't know.
I don't either. Well, it's interesting. I said anybody can afford a $4 million house.
But those factories leaving China, Vietnam is their choice. So,
wow,
it's one of their choices. It's not America.
No, not America for sure. You probably saw this article too that I thought was kind of ironic for the free country in the world. Invisible ink tattoos could be used by the elites to identify unvaccinated kids. This is a little bit spooky. Because it's becoming difficult for the ruling class and big pharma to keep track of people who have been vaccinated and those who have not, a suggestion to use tattoos has surfaced. A new technology created by researchers at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology can now help authoritarians track the unvaccinated. According to Futurism, this means that they have found a covert way to embed the record of a vaccination directly in a patient's skin rather than documenting electronically or in paper. This tracking seems to be a lower risk tracking system than vaccines themselves at least, and it could greatly simplify the process of maintaining accurate vaccine records, especially on a larger scale. I don't like that idea. Electronic tattoos to mark those who've not been vaccinated. That is just a little bit on the spooky side. Any comments on that?
Well, again, the youth, look at the youth and tattoos today. You know, they'll embrace it, not think anything about it. And,
oh, yeah.
It worked during... people are marked with numbers on their wrists and so forth. So this would be the next step. So people should be outraged. Instead, people think it's a great idea.
Ho-hum. Well, now we have colleges tracking their students by their cell phones to make sure they're in class.
Mm-hmm.
How far would this go? When will somebody say, no, wait a minute, there's something wrong with that. That's not right. You can see a need for a lot of things, But how much liberty do we give up for a need to be tracked and traced and looked and watched after?
Yeah, but we're already tracked and traced.
We are, but it's getting worse, I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, are we going to just sit by and let them get further and further into it? Like you said, tattooing or unvaccinated children. Now New York just passed a law that the Amish must be vaccinated or they're going to be fined $2,000 a day. This is where we are in America today, folks. This is no longer a nation of freedom, not even freedom to worship the way you see fit. Religious reasons, a lot of people don't want to get vaccinated. But now that's going to be against the law. So you'll figure, I don't know. And now we're seeing in Pennsylvania, Lithuanian troops are practicing with the guard. Right here in West Virginia, Polish soldiers are training in Elkins, which is where about half an hour back from where we have Bible study every other week. Polish troops are training with West Virginia National Guard. Why are they bringing in more foreign troops to train with our guards? Why do we need that?
I think we've already trained foreign troops for a long time in our country.
We have been. I know we have been. But now they're coming in. I mean, this is, for our area, this is something kind of new as far as I know. I mean, I'm just kind of curious, you know, with what's going on in Virginia and the talk down there, I don't know. Just a thought. I mean, that kind of bothered me. They're bringing foreign troops in to train with our troops. Are they planning on maybe using them here to help with the police forces? Policing the streets one day? I don't know. That's just my thought.
Yeah.
Whatever your thought is, share with us. I'd like to hear it.
I don't know. You're going to get mad at me for saying this. I probably should say.
Well, go ahead. I'll get over it.
Will you get over it? I agree with you. You know, I don't think we should be training any foreign troops in this country at all. I mean, I'm sorry. If we want to train them, it should be on their bases in their country. Not here in the United States. Now, with that said, when I saw, if we went back to the old Archie Bunker days and having Polish troops in West Virginia, I could just see a whole bunch of jokes.
Well, see, you bring them here, we'll learn them how to talk.
Anyway, I just saw Polish troops in West Virginia.
Okay. Go ahead. You're right. I thought about that myself.
But to be politically correct, I couldn't say, you know. Anyway.
Don't worry about it. I live in the state. I can take it. I'm used to it. I really am. You know, I truly am. So it's just, it's break time again. My goodness, it's going to be fast.
It is. It is. This program is just going as fast as this year did. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. I need to hear it just one more time.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We are live today, December 26th. It's Thursday. We have another live program tomorrow. I'll be here with Dave Allen on Monday. We'll have a program with Dave Allen Tuesday, which will be all by himself. And then we head into the New Year holiday. And I'm going to be gone.
Yes, so. You are. She's taking a vacation, folks, and she ain't taking us with her.
Mm-mm. It's been a while.
You've earned it. I say that. You have earned it. You truly have. But go ahead.
I just want the listeners to know that the office is up and running. I have complete faith in my employees here at Discount Gold and Silver. They will take care of you. And if they don't, I want calls. And they are instructed on a daily basis to keep me informed on what went on throughout the day, every day, because that's the only way I can relax.
And so, while you're going, we'll put $50 gold pieces up on sale, $20 a piece. I'll make you some money.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Leave us but in charge. All right.
Anyway. Oh, the boss is away. What is it? The mouse cat's away. The mice will play.
Exactly.
But anyway, I just want to let the listeners know that it'll be business as usual. You won't even know that I'm gone. That's how much trust that I have in my employees.
Oh, so. We will miss you, though, seriously. I mean, I want you to go and enjoy yourself. You certainly earned it. But we'll miss you.
Well, I might call in. If I have the ability to call in, I just might. I might surprise you.
But that'd be fine. You know, act like it's your program.
And you know, I want to say something, too. I want to thank everybody who listens to the program and who sent me Christmas cards and all the nice little wishes and blessings that I received. It was a true blessing. So that's
it is a blessing. Yes, it is.
It is. It truly is. And Christmas Eve, I went to my neighbor's house. They had a dinner. I think there was like 12 of us there, 12, 13 of us. And the one lady bought, for the women, she had little packages, and we just drew them out of a little box. And inside, there was a little container that had a little heart. And inside the heart was a word. And some of them had faith, love. Mine was blessed. Mm. And I just thought, wow. It was so true that I chose that one, or it chose me. And so it was very lovely, but it was lovely to receive all the Christmas cards and wonderful wishes. So I want to thank you.
We are truly blessed. We are truly blessed, Melanie. Yeah. And I'm going to say this from here. I don't care who hears it. Being on with you is always fun, a pleasure. I know we cover serious stuff, but you're a nice lady to work with, and I enjoy it. I'm blessed to be with you, and I appreciate you letting me be on the program with you.
Well, thank you. And I enjoy the programs, too. And we have fun. And we talk about things. And so let's do it.
If you just quit calling me bad names. But anyway. That was a good one. I'll never forget that long as I live.
Well, that was one of those radio classics, I think.
It was. It truly was.
One of those bloopers that...
You won't set off court for harassing me on the air? Oh, my goodness.
But we should talk about it. It might happen again.
Well, all we can do is one day at a time and wait and see. You know, we're seeing some serious stuff happening, though, around the world. This is something that I thought was very, maybe a little bit startling. Israeli military chief, now pay attention, outlined strategy for coming war with Iran and its allies. Now, folks, the coming war, not if to go to war, coming war. The chief of staff for Israel's armed forces, Aviv Kashave, said on Wednesday that Israel cannot allow Iran to station military in Iraq. According to the Yonet News, Kashave stated on the 7th anniversary of the death of former chief of staff Amon Lipkin Shahak that the Israeli army would never allow Iran to be stationed in Iraq. The Quds force of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard in Iraq transfer advanced weapons there monthly. We cannot have this situation without interference, he said. Furthermore, Kachavi said that there is an opportunity in the Gaza Strip as the results of the Black Belt operation to develop a secure reality and make it more stable. In the coming war, now this is what he said, folks, in the coming war, we will have to attack with great force in populated areas and also target the state structure or the entity that allows terrorism to act against us. Melly, that's a powerful statement. In the coming war, not if we go to war, but in the coming war. What do you think about that?
Well,
I mean, that's a bold statement. That's not a.
It is.
That's almost like a threat. Is it not?
It is.
I mean, and I do know that from what I understand, scriptures of World War III was starting in the Middle East, and Israel was prophesied to be the main catalyst. What can I say? It is what it is. But on top of that, something to think about, Iran has joined up with some pretty powerful allies. Mm-hmm. China, Russia, and Iran to hold joint naval drills. Folks, this could lead to something really huge. China, Russia, and Iran will hold joint naval drills starting Friday in the Gulf of Oman, Beijing and Tehran said, at a time of heightened tension since the U.S. withdrew from a landmark nuclear deal with Tehran. Set to take place from December 27 to the 30th, the military exercises aim to deepen exchange and cooperation between the navies of the three countries. Chinese Defense Minister spokesman Wu Quan told reporters Thursday. Wu said the Chinese Navy will deploy an Yixing guided missile destroyer, nicknamed the Carrier Killer, for its array of anti-ship and land attack cruise missiles in the drills. But he did not give details on how many personnel or ships would take part overall. So if Israel attacks Iran, is there a chance Russia and China may step in on behalf of Iran? Absolutely. They're practicing right now. This could lead to a world war. Oh my, if this will lead to a nuclear war, Melody, I've said this before, who wins a nuclear war? Nobody. Actually, who wins any war? Nobody wins, somebody just loses less, doesn't lose as bad, but everybody loses, don't they?
It does, and that's the one thing that hopefully it will restrain them from. But I mean, in today's technology, the different types of war vehicles they have, and even financial. I mean, we've often talked about the treasuries, and the U.S. dollar was China's weapons of mass destruction, was their weapon of mass destruction, because they own, you know, over $1 trillion worth of treasuries, and they've been selling them off. Russia's sold a boatload of them. And we still are able to maintain. So there's a lot of things that can be done that doesn't have to be nuclear. But
I don't know.
But
it's,
you
so
know,
scary.
It is scary. I mean, we saw it nearly happen with Kennedy.
Yeah, it did.
So I mean, it was within inches of pushing the button. That's how close we came.
And who knows what madman, and I'm not just talking about foreign countries, folks, it could happen right here. Who knows what madman could instigate something? It'll not be the president. Then a button and not be pushed, somebody to launch a nuclear missile. It come off a ship, off a plane. Who knows? And it wouldn't take much to cause it to happen as far as happen quickly. I mean, once you push a button or whatever, pull the trigger, I tell people when you're shooting a gun, once you pull the trigger and that gun goes boom, you cannot recall that bullet. You cannot change its course. It's going to hit what it hits. So make sure you know what you're doing when you got a gun in your hand. Same thing with a nuclear missile or anything else. Make sure you know what you're doing and somebody's handling it that you can trust.
And in today's world with this technology, I mean, we hear all the time about hackers. Tell me they can't hack into these places.
Absolutely they can. Absolutely.
And I'll tell you what, if the Department of Defense is not hackable, then it's a disgrace how these corporations and so forth are so easily hacked. Because that means there's the information out there to keep them from being hacked, and they don't care to do anything about it.
Very good point.
Just like these cities that are held hostage. So if the Department of Defense has the equipment, has the ability to keep from being hacked, then these cities that are hacked and held for a ransom, it should have that information.
And so, some of the cities are actually paying ransoms. They really are paying them.
They are.
Once you pay them, you lose already. It's going to happen again.
It's going to happen again? We don't hear about that. Once in a while, we'll hear a story about it, but I guarantee you it's happening more than what we're told.
Guarantee you, it is. It is. And Syria is getting a little bit upset because we went in and took over the oil fields. You know, you probably know that too. Mm-hmm. U.S. has no right to Syrian oil, advisor to President Assad says. Now, Bothania Shaban was referring to President Donald Trump's declaration earlier this year that the U.S. would keep Syrian oil. Really? A top advisor to Syria's president said the United States has no right to Syrian oil and has warned of operations against American troops guarding the oil field. Now, folks, you hear that? Syria is warning us that we need to get out of there as far as controlling the oil. Bothania Shaban, who is a political and media advisor to Bashar Assad, report recently told NBC News that the U.S. has absolutely no right. It is our oil. And she's right. She's right. He's talking about stealing it. She added in her office a serious presidential palace in Damascus, referring to President Donald Trump's declaration earlier this year that the U.S. will keep Syrian oil. In October, Trump administration announced plans to withdraw some 1,000 troops from the Syria, amounting to most of the U.S. military presence in the country. He later reversed course, approving an expanded military mission to secure an expanse of oil fields across eastern Syria. Shaban went on to warn of a popular opposition and operation against the American occupiers of our oil. Melody, she's right. We have no business trying to control their oil. That's their property, is it not?
It is. And, you know, somebody could talk that it's very strategic and everything else, but I can't. What's it our business? Who are we doing it for? It's not for the benefit of the United States. So what agreement did we make? What deal did we make so that, you know, we're using our men to protect the oil for somebody else? It's just, we have no right to another country's
natural resources.
Yeah.
We don't.
It's just like how, you know, but then again, hey, our biggest oil refinery here in the United States is owned by the Saudis.
That's true.
That's my pet peeve. I mean, there's a lot of other businesses that are owned by Saudis and other, you know, China and so forth. And they're all wrong, but the one that I can recall the easiest is the oil refinery. It's like, okay. And it's, you know, what we're pushing is natural gas. That's what we're shipping. I don't know. It's,
well, it just, again, America has become, to be, this is an understatement, intrusive in foreign affairs. And we were warned against by first president, obviously, but we didn't pay attention to that. We now become intrusive. We become controlling. We now demand that they do certain things. And if we were there and we were there actually protecting them, and as we'll say, as their internal police, we shouldn't be there. But if we were, they should be paying for that protection, not the taxpayer. And I think that's just a plain statement. If we're going to have troops there, they want to die to protect that country, that country should be paying for us to have them people there. We shouldn't be there in the first place. But if we are, it should be paid for. Not by you and I, but by the nation that we're in. Would you agree with that?
I don't believe any nation should pay us for our military help. We shouldn't be there at all, period.
And that's what I'm saying. But if we're there, period. We are there. And we're paying for, you and I are paying for it.
Well, once they start paying us, then they get to dictate certain
things.
Well,
they just about are anyway.
Hmm?
They just about are anyway.
Agreed.
You know, so, I mean, if we're going to be I don't know. It's toughy.
We should not be there.
I agree totally. We shouldn't be. And now it's starting to heat up across the world, not just here, but the country around the world getting fed up with all the things you're doing. You know, South Korea is upset because Trump did say he wanted to pay more of the cost for our troops to be in South Korea. And South Korea is getting a little bit perturbed to the point that they think they can get along without us now. China and North Korea are more likable, I guess you could say now. So I don't know. We're seeing a lot of things happening, Melody. But when Israel comes out and says, when we go to war with Iran, when we go to war with Iran, knowing that Syria and China are with Iran, that's a big statement and a big move, and perhaps in the wrong direction. Well, we're out of time.
We're heading in the wrong direction. We're heading into a break. The evening program is over. So I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us today. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll be live for Friday on the 27th of December. And I want to wish each and every one of you a good evening. And until then, be safe, good night, and God bless. Thank you, Butch.
You're welcome.
That's too bad.